Praise the Lord. You know, we were blessed last Sunday. Well, I was blessed. I don't know about you. My brother Richie shared, talking about whether we have gifts and using our gifts and our talents to serve God. And I woke up one day in the week. I can't quite remember which day it was. But I woke up with a verse of scripture on my mind. And I just knew that God had just given me that word to bring the share this morning. And really, it goes in with what Brother Richie was sharing. So, you know, the Lord is bringing things together. He has a message for us, I believe, at this time. And it's to do with serving Him. Now, I'm fighting with technology this morning. You know, in the last 30 years that I've been ministering and involved in church, I've learned that you don't rely on technology.
Amen.
Don't rely on the microphones. Don't rely on the overhead projector. And you know, there was a time a few years ago we were having a service in our church in the UK, and halfway through the service, where everything was electrically, like the keyboards, the overhead, the microphone system, the PA and all that, everything worked by the electrics, we had a power cut. And in good old English style, you know, the church went on. Of course. Yeah, I'll share this before I get into the Word of God. You know, we had a lady in our church in the UK. And I'm going back many years, and she was, at the time, she was probably about 20, maybe just a little bit younger than that, 19 or so. And I wasn't a lot older than her, I was about the same age. And in those days, I was responsible for going out on the streets with leaflets and literature. And she said to me that, Peter, we really must get out on the streets and do something more. And she's talking about Saturdays and going out. And I says, fine, let's go. And it got to the day we said that we'd go on this day, this particular Saturday. And it got to the weekend before, and I announced this is we're going to go out on Saturday. We wanted to make it a church event, and let's have a big presence in the marketplace. And I think this was a couple of days then. We had a service on the Wednesday night or the Thursday night. And she said to me, what's going to happen on Saturday because they're forecasting rain? I said, we get wet. We get wet. You know, just because things don't go our way, it doesn't mean to say we stop the work of God. just because technology fails. Now I have the notes prepared to have them on the screen, but there's a problem with, I don't know whether it's the computer or whether it's my USB disk thing. But anyway, we're going to turn to Mark's Gospel chapter 6. And I want to ask this question this morning. What have we got? Now, we're talking about continuing building on what Brother Richie shared with us on Sunday, last Sunday. You know, talking about our giftings, our talents, the things that we can use to serve God. You know, what have we got? And what we have here in Mark 6 is a very familiar account where Jesus he's been teaching all day long. He's been imparting truth to those that would listen to him. And, sorry, Mark 6, we're going to pick up, I'm going to start quoting from verse 30, but really the scripture I want to get to is verses 37 and 38. But in this passage here, you see Jesus has been teaching. It's getting late in the day and his disciples are getting a bit concerned about those that had come to listen to him. And, you know, like a lot of us, I should think, I don't think they were concerned so much about the people. You know, let's remember, these disciples, they were just like you and me. You know, and they came to Jesus with this great suggestion. Jesus, you know, the church has been here all day long. You know, we've listened to you teach all day. I think the people are getting a little tired and they're certainly getting a little hungry. Now, why don't you just send them home? Send them on their way so they can refresh themselves. You know, they can go into the town and get food and get something to drink and make their way home. You know, that's how they approach Jesus. These disciples. And what we have here, you know, Jesus, in verse 37 here, it says, he answered and said to them, you give them something to eat. You give them something. You know, Jesus switched the responsibility for the feeding of this great crowd. And it wasn't a few. Now, we're not talking about 80 or 100 people that were listening to him preach that day. You know, the Bible tells us in this, I don't know if it's this gospel, but because this passage is recorded in all four of the gospel writers. But one of them, he says, that talks about there being 5,000 men. 5,000 men. It says besides the women and the children. Now, we know in church, and I think this is a fair representation. If you look around this morning, and you look into any church on any Sunday morning, I think you'll see that the majority of people that make up the congregation are women. Amen. So if there's 5,000 men present in this meeting that Jesus was holding, how many people do you really think there were? 10,000? 15,000 maybe? And then there's the children, yes. Amen. So this was not a small gathering. And Jesus switches the responsibility from to feed this great multitude. He says, we're not going to send them away, Peter. He says, I want you to give them something to eat. Can you just imagine the disciples' faces at this moment? You know, they look at each other. Has he gone mad? And where are we going to get enough food to feed this multitude? Even the shops in the nearest town, they haven't even got enough in there on their shelves to supply the need that all these would have. It's not like they could just pop down to the local supermarket and get a few supplies. But, you know, they look, and then Jesus says to them, he says, you give them something to eat. But they said to him, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat? 200 denarii worth of bread. You know, that is a lot of money. That's, I worked this out once. I think that's something equivalent to something like 9 months' wages. That's a lot of money to feed this vast multitude. You know, where are we going to get this bread? Where will we get the money to buy this bread? You know, where are we going to get these things? Jesus, look at the time. You know, the shops are shut. You know, just send them home. Go on. So, where's Brother Chica? That's how you do it, Brother Chica. Just send them home. Get them out of the service afterwards. Where are we going to get this sort of... You know, we haven't got that sort of money. We haven't got that sort of bread. You know, but then Jesus asked him a question. He says, well, what have you got? What have you got? Is it verse 38, I believe? Yeah. How many loaves do you actually have? Go and find out what you've got. And they went hunting through the multitude. They went through the crowds. And they came back to him. And they said, well, Jesus, it's not looking good. It's not looking good. We've got 5 small loaves and 2 fish. Now, 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now, this was a banquet. Not for the multitude, but this was a little boy's lunch. Perhaps a little lad, just a little bit older than... Oh, a little bit, about the same age, maybe a little bit younger than this young fella here. 5 loaves, 2 fish. Is that enough to... Would that fill you up at dinner time? if you had just a few small rolls and a couple of little sardines or something like that, that'd be enough, perhaps for a little boy's lunch. You know, and this little boy that they... He took these, he gave the disciples these five loaves and these two. You know, his mum had lovingly prepared for him. She packed them up. You know, like all mums, you know, I'm sure she would have made sure these were nice for him, wrapped up. But maybe not in the plastic, you know, sealed. They were nice. It was just sufficient for his own need. Just to take the edge off of his hunger until he could get home for his tea. Five loaves and two small fish. And it says here, the boy gave the loaves to the disciples. They brought them to Jesus. And he said, we've only got five loaves and two fish. That's not enough to feed this multitude. But then Jesus took those. You know, this boy surrendered his lunch to Jesus. He surrendered what he had to Jesus. You know, Jesus took those five loaves and those two fish. And he blessed them. And he gave them to his disciples. And the disciples began to hand these, what Jesus had given them out. And you know what? They went round. They went to the first group of 50 that was sitting on the grass. And you know, they took what they wanted. And then they moved on and on and on and on and on. They went from group to group, giving out this bread, giving out this fish. And do you know what the Bible says? It says that everyone ate. Everyone was full. Have you eaten until you are full? Have you ever eaten until you can eat no more? You can't even get another crumb. You're so full. The only thing you want to do then is go and lie down. Have you been in that sort of situation? Yeah, I know what I'm talking about. Well, every single person on this hillside, now however many there were, whether you think there were 5,000, 10,000, even 15,000, every single one of them was filled till they could eat no more. And where did that food come from? Five loaves and two fish. That a young lad willingly surrendered to Jesus. And Jesus used that to feed the multitude. Not only that, you know what the Bible says here? The 12 baskets of leftovers were gathered up afterwards. 12 basketfuls of leftovers. How many of you like watching these cookery programs? You know, there was a particular program we used to watch in the UK. And the one thing that Jane commented on nearly every time we saw, you know, they always have recipes for leftovers. Where do you get leftovers from? Certainly not in our house. So there's a whole host of recipes that we can't make because we never have any leftovers and we don't know where to get them from. But there, on this occasion, there were 12 basketful of leftovers. And do you ever wonder what happened to those 12 baskets of leftovers? Because the Bible doesn't tell us. I've got an idea because I know the way the Lord works. I got a feeling there was a little boy and his mum who had enough food left over to live very comfortably for a long time. Why? Because the little boy was willing to surrender what he had to Jesus. The little he had, he gave to Jesus. You know, and the little we've got, we may not have a lot. We may have very little in terms of talents or things that we can do. But if we surrender what we've got to Jesus, God can use the very little to reach thousands. Do you know one person in this place today? You could surrender what you had to Jesus. You know, and that could be enough to touch your nation. To touch the world. To reach the world for the kingdom of God. Just by surrendering what you've got. You might say, I haven't got a lot. Well, the little boy didn't have a lot. He had just five loaves and two fish. But he gave it all to Jesus. Now there's another person in the scriptures, and perhaps if we can just go there, Ivan can give me 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 4. In this, in 2 Kings chapter 4, we read of a widow woman whose husband had left her, he died, and he'd left her in great need. She had a lot of debts. She had no way of paying off those debts. The Bible tells us in 2 Kings chapter 4, it says that the creditors were coming, the bailiffs were coming to take away her two sons to be slaves. You know, the prophet spoke to this woman, and he asked her the same question that Jesus asked the disciples. He says, "What have you got? What have you got?" You know, you may not have, you may think you've got no means to pay the creditors. You've got nothing that you can give to satisfy the request that they're making. But he says, "What have you got?" And she says, "Well," she says, this is verse 4, it says, "Elisha said to her, 'What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?' And she said, 'Your maidservant has nothing except a small jar of oil.'" And then the prophet told her something here. Look at verse 5. It says that. It says, "When you've come in and you've shut the door behind you and your sons," it says, "pour in the oil." So she was just told to go and borrow vessels. Get vessels from your neighbors. Go and, you know, don't take no for an answer. Just say, I need a jar. I need a jug. I need a vase. I need something. Just give me something that will hold liquid. You know, I can just imagine this woman going from house to house. You know, she's knocking on the doors. Now, have you got a jar? Have you got a jug? Have you got something? Oh, I can give you two. Lovely, great. Next house. Bang, bang, bang. Can I borrow some jars and vessels? I need some. And she gets another couple from there. And she goes along, all her friends, everybody she knows, around the whole family, gathering jars and jugs and vases and vessels and anything that will hold liquid. And she brings them into her house. Then the prophet has said to her, when she shut herself in the house, says, "Start to pour that oil into those vessels." What a crazy man this prophet is. But this woman did what the prophet said. She surrendered that oil to God. She began to pour that oil out into the vessels. And she started with the first one. Then she went on to the next one. Then the next one. She went through vessel after vessel after vessel, pouring out what she had. And then she asked her son, she says, "Son, bring me another one." And he says, "Mom," he says, "we haven't got any left." And the moment that happened, the oil stopped flowing. But what's more amazing is that, you know, this woman, do you know who? This woman became Israel's first oil baron. Do you know that? She had oil. She sold this oil. She made a fortune out of this oil. She paid off the creditors. She paid off all the debts that her husband had left her. And then it says that she lived comfortably, her and her son, on the proceeds. You know, what a good God. When we surrender what we have to him, God can use it, not just for our benefit, but to reach others, to minister to others. You know, what a great miracle. She surrendered this jar of oil to the prophet, and God multiplied it. We may not have very much, but God uses what we do have so that he gets the glory. You know that? Amen. That's the key, so that he gets the glory. It's not so we can wear a badge. You know what a badge is? It says that I'm the best. I've done this. I've done that. I've got this certificate. I've got this. It's so that he gets the glory. God gets the glory. Amen. We can only increase what we have. Maybe the talents, the gifts, by using them, giving them. That's how anything develops and grows. Our muscles. Now, I'm no bodybuilder. But I know that if you want to develop your muscles, you've got to use them. If you want to develop your talents and your giftings, you've got to start using them. If you want to, as pastors, it's been teaching us over the last few weeks. He said, if you want to learn how to pray, just start doing it. If you want to learn how to have faith, just start trusting God. If you want to learn to do anything, just start doing it. Start using what you've got for God's glory, and things will happen. You will grow. You will be blessed. There's another man in the scriptures, and this will be the last man I want to go to this morning. Moses, if we turn to Exodus chapter 4. Again, you know this man, Moses. Moses is a man that's, at this present time, of when we're in the reading, he's in the back of the desert looking after his father-in-law's flock of sheep. And God appears to him in the middle of a burning bush. And God says to Moses, he says, Moses, I've got a task for you, I've got a job for you to do. He says, I want you to go down to Egypt, I want you to speak to the Pharaoh. I want you to tell the Pharaoh that he's got to let my people go because they're going to come out. I'm going to send you into Egypt to bring them out. And he's got to do what you tell him. And have you just listened to Moses? You know who Moses is. He's this man that led them from Egypt into the edge of the promised land before Joshua took over. He was responsible for this group of people for 40 years. This was the worst church that any pastor could ever have. Just look at them. Look at what they did. And who got the blame? Pastor. Pastor Moses. But just listen to what this man said. Let me just go to Exodus. God has told him he's got to go into Egypt. And here. I don't know if it's later in this chapter. Yeah, he makes a whole load of excuses as to why he can't do the job. Now, there are many reasons why he could not go to Egypt. Let's look at some of them. He says, first of all, he says, one, they won't listen to me. Well, that's his opinion. That's what he thought. They won't listen to me. And then when God sort of convinced him that maybe they would listen, he said, well, they won't believe me. You know, they won't believe what I'm saying. You know, why should they? And then they'll say to me that God hasn't sent you. Then they want to know what your name is. And Moses is keeping on. Then he goes, I can't do it anyway because I've got a stutter and a stammer. I can't speak. I'm not gifted in that way. And God says, okay, Moses, Aaron can go with you. Then he said, well, there's another reason why he couldn't go. Do you know, at this point in the conversation with God, you know, Moses is 80 years old. Did you realize that? He's an 80-year-old man, an octogenarian. And he said, God, send someone else. I'm too old. I should be putting my feet up now. You know what? Even after all these excuses, do you know who went? Moses. Moses still went. Because what did he say? God says, look, he says, here, what's that in your hand? What have you got, Moses? He said, I'm not interested in what you haven't got. He said, I don't care that you've got a stammer. Maybe don't care that you're too old. He says, what have you got? And he said, Moses looks at this rod that he's holding in his hand. He says, it's a stick. It's a rod. And then God says to him, look, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground and it became a serpent. And you know what happened. Then he took the serpent up and it became a rod in his hand. What have you got? You know, that rod became his symbol of authority. You know, that was his rod of authority that God had given him as his spokesperson. You know, what have you got in your hand? You know, what can you do? When God asks you to do something, he's not looking at how, whether you can afford it. He's not looking at whether you've got the, maybe what you think is the natural ability to do it. God knows. He's not going to ask you to do something that you're not qualified for. Did you know that? God is not like that. He's not going to say, well, I don't know, I've got an idea. I'm going to send this one on this task. Now I know they're going to fall and fail, and they're going to fall flat on their face because they're not qualified for the job. They haven't got the ability. You know, God's not like that. If God calls you to do something, he will equip you to do it. He will give you the ability. Now you may think you haven't got it, but God would already put that inside you. You just need to develop it. Allow it to grow. As you begin to do things for him, as you begin to work for him, as you begin to serve him, as you begin to, I don't know. You may not be a preacher. You may not be a singer. You may not be a musician. You know, maybe the only thing you can do is stand and greet someone. Give them a handshake. Say a hello. Maybe you can't, you don't even feel comfortable doing it. Maybe all you can do is draw. You know, you can use that for the kingdom of God. We need, the kingdom of God needs people that can draw. To produce the artwork for projects like the CDs that Sister Felicien works on and Brother Anthony's work. We need artists in the kingdom of God. We need people that can serve God. So if you've got a talent, it doesn't matter what it is. Now you might think that's so insignificant, God can't use that. God can't do that. Think again. God asks one question. He says, what have you got? What can you do? Because you surrender that to the Lord this morning. As we've seen, the little we surrender to him, God can take it and use it. And reach the world. You know, I knew a preacher. I know a preacher. Consider myself quite good friends with him. And he's a man that travels the world preaching. You know, when God spoke to him, do you know the only thing he could do? And he said he did this faithfully for years in the church before God put him into the place of where he was ministering. It was just bringing people to church every week. Picking them up, bringing them to church, and that's what he did year after year after year. And now he's traveling the world preaching. Why? Because he was faithful with what he could do. And God used him. And many people have come to know the Lord through him and because of the way God's worked in him. So you may not be able to do those things, but when you do what you can, when you work with what you've got, do you know what God does? God adds his blessing to it. He adds his anointing to it. You know, and great things take place. The miracle takes place. Do you remember there was a man in the Bible? He had a... The master delivered a talent. Jesus told this story. And some of them worked with the talents they had, but this one man, he said, I can't do it. I'm going to just hide the talent. I'm going to bury the talent. Do you know the Lord rebuked him? Said, called him a wicked servant, an evil servant, an unfaithful servant. Why? Because he didn't use what God had given him, the talents he had. It doesn't matter how young we are, how old we are, if we use what God has given us. You know, as we heard last week from Brother Richie, none of us are giftless. We all got something we can do. All we need to do is surrender it to him. The other two disciples, those other two in that parable, they weren't called wicked or unfaithful. Do you know what? The Lord said to them, he says, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. So let me encourage you this morning in closing, just to seek your heart before God. Allow him to just show you areas, things that you could do. Now you might think it's it's something silly or stupid, or maybe you, all you can do is embroider or do some stitchwork. Well, surrender that to the Lord this morning. Use that for His glory. And together, as a church here, as churches where your church where you come from, just see God begin to work for and build the kingdom. You know, what have you got? That's the question this morning. I believe the Lord would ask us, what have you got? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Be blessed.